One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org.
What is going on, guys? And thanks again so much for joining us here on Expanded Perspectives. That's right, it's me, Cam, and as always, the man, the myth, the legend, Kerry Wood. How you doing, Kerry?
I'm doing good, guys. I'm Kyle. I'm here in studio. Glad to be here. Looking forward to this show.
Yeah, it's going to be a fun one. We got some wild time slip stories. It seems like some just fell in our lap. Like literally within like the last 3 weeks. It's like something's happened. I don't know what's going on. Everybody's like, hey, guess what?
I think people being quarantined in their house or whatever, they're just feeling more comfortable sharing. But we've been getting stories sent to us over the years of time slips, time dilations, things like that, missing time. I don't really know what category you want to put them in because some of them are like you go into a village and you didn't notice it there before, those kind of stories. And then there's other times where just like people have missing time. Like I drive to work, but somehow I lost 3 hours. So it's kind of confusing on what category you put that in.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure.
Because could it be alien abduction? Could it be a time slip? I don't know. There's no clear black and white line. It's kind of a gray area, but I like those stories.
Well, and what about the ones where it's like people jump into the future?
Yeah.
Like there'll be stories of people have flashed forward. And how do you put that into some sort of category?
I don't know. I got a really interesting story though I'm going to share with you guys, where this person feels like they accidentally walked into a portal and were like in the Upside Down or whatever, from like Stranger Things.
Yeah, yeah.
Kind of like that, where they were there, but everything just looked different.
Dude.
If that makes sense. Like you were still in this room, the studio.
It's just
somehow
different.
It was like darker, maybe an odd different color. Like things were just different.
We did, where we had a guy had sent us a story. Remember about the trail and the fire and the like on the hiking trail where they found the I guess the fire watch cabin or tower
where it looked
everything looked off, like it had been a fire but it wasn't a fire or something like that.
I remember distinctly it was talking about how it looked greasy.
Yes,
like it looked really filthy and dirty.
Yeah,
aged somehow. And then, you know, a few minutes later, they're off the hiking trail and everything's back to normal.
Yeah, that's wild.
Those are crazy stories.
So, yeah, we're hopefully we're going to have some stories you've never heard and something that you truly enjoy. But before we get into that, Philly's got some wild news stories we're going to talk about. Philly, fill them in.
Yeah, I got an interesting story sent to us by one of our listeners. It says, hey, guys, I'm a huge fan. I've always wanted to send in some of my stories, but your Shadow People episode put me over the edge. And I decided it's time for me to share. I've been having run-ins with what I've always expected as ghosts and things like that, but this incident really made me question what I might actually be dealing with. In February of 2016, I was lying down on my back on my couch, home alone, watching TV when I suddenly fell into a state of sleep paralysis. But I am one of those people who have never been able to fall asleep on my back, and was definitely not asleep this time. I noticed I had lost all control of my body, except for slight movement in my eyes, and I could more or less hear the TV going on in the background, but I couldn't make out what they were saying, despite me knowing they were speaking English. I did eventually notice it go to a commercial break by the change in voices and overall vibe of the TV sounds. Now, me being pretty used to the paranormal and thinking of myself as the explorer scientist type, I decided I was going to play around with this experience. While I was in the moment, though, it didn't last long. As I was trying to gain control of my body, I was more or less relaxed and trying to make out what was happening on the TV to try to keep track of time until I noticed a very tall, very familiar shadow person pull up in my peripherals to my right. Now, the best way to describe him is he reminds me of Death, kind of like Adam Carolla from The Family Guy, but without the bony hands poking out, and thank God no scythe, and no good jokes either, unfortunately. This didn't freak me out as much because I've come to terms with my sensitivity, if you will, towards these kinds of things, but it's what happened next that changed me. As I was checking out my shadow person friend, I noticed movement coming from behind the couch, down by my legs, and I was horrified to see only what I could call a small monster climbing over the couch and starting to reach down for my feet. The thing that really freaked me out is I have never seen a creature like this, so either I have an insane imagination or I saw something I haven't heard of before. It had what looked kind of like a monkey body with no arms but three spider legs coming out of each side. It would have been about 2 feet long from head to its bottom, and there was no tail. It had a face, but honestly, I can't remember what it looked like because this is where I drew the line. Right before its legs got to touching mine, I pulled the chute on my little experiment and started screaming, "Okay, I'm done. We are done here. I want my body back." I tried to shut my eyes and raise my arms. Unfortunately, I couldn't get my eyes shut and I couldn't see the two entities anymore. The experience was only half over though. As soon as I started to freak out, I noticed a loud droning noise start coming out of the kitchen from behind me. It's very hard to explain. Almost like being in a shipyard or a metal yard where they're doing a lot of grinding to giant pieces of metal together, as loud as a tornado siren. Now, that sound came along with a very heavy vibrating pulsing that started in the dead center of my forehead. So violent, I remember thinking in my head, my gums are vibrating so hard, I'm scared my teeth are going to fall out. Now, this feeling was shaking my whole body, and it isn't anything I've experienced before, like riding those safety bumps on the side of a freeway, but in my head. Now, this went on for a long, tiring amount of time, during which I was focused on raising my arms from the elbow down, straight up in the air, with my fingers pointed straight up at the ceiling. Eventually, I felt that I had them up to where I was hoping for, and as quickly as it started, rather than waking up, it was like I was having a bad dream. I watched my arms fall down to my side, and just like that, I regained full control of my body, and I took my first deep breath, which felt like I did in minutes. The noise was gone, and I was alone again. I noticed the TV show I was watching before. This experience was back from a commercial break, giving me a bit of a timeline for how long this all lasted. It must have only been 3 or 4 minutes, if not a little more. I checked my gums and my teeth, and they felt completely normal. I remember thinking, if they were really vibrating that hard, shouldn't they be sore? I have many of what I would classify as ghost experiences, but this one was really traumatic, and one that honestly, it was hard for me to go to sleep for a couple of days. I don't know if this was my brain misfiring, like I think is the case in most of these sleep paralysis research I've done, or did this really happen to me? I think you guys have touched on sleep paralysis before on the show, but maybe eventually it deserves its own episode, and we listeners can compare our stories and maybe get some closure out of all of our experiences. I don't know what I would do without your guys' show. Please keep up the good work, my brothers, Doug.
Thanks for sharing, Doug, because now I'm terrified, even more so than normal.
I mean, I've heard of many stories of shadow beings and things like that, but as far as like a spider-like being in your room.
He's looking for his flesh jacket download.
Yeah.
The spider being.
I mean, that's a creepy story. And see, at least Doug, he's aware that he doesn't know if this really happened or if it was like a horrific dream, but it seemed very real to him. He says that he didn't feel like he was asleep, but was awake, but paralyzed.
Mm-hmm.
You know, sleep paralysis. People talk about not being able to move. I think I've had a couple where I was aware I couldn't move, but I don't think that I was conscious. Like, I still think I was asleep.
Like, it might have been a dream state. You just think?
Yeah, but, like, that's what's terrifying is a lot of these people talk about how they're completely awake.
Yeah, I've never had it. I've never had any, and I don't want to ever have it.
No.
What do you think the humming was?
Man, I don't know. That's a bizarre scenario.
It doesn't, yeah, it's crazy.
And but maybe that... maybe that humming is like he was talking about, like misfirings in the brain.
Yeah.
Misfiring in the synapses. That's what's causing him to hallucinate this.
Or that you're not even
causing that noise.
And maybe you're not even really hearing a humming.
Yeah, maybe not.
It is. It's just that misfire, but it's all internal. It's your internal monologue, your internal thing.
Yeah. Creepy story.
That's crazy. I got something for you that I need to share that you're going to like, because we always laugh about what? The Jimmickin.
Oh, man. Let's get into
it. Okay. A human-faced dog encounter took place in the Virginia mountains. Now, get a load of this. Back in 1998 or 99, a few friends and I out on a Halloween riding the old back roads. So this is what went down. So there's a very large mountain range near us, near Nicholsville, Virginia, or the Clinch Mountain Ridge. It's a really small town around there, maybe 300 or so people. Now, there's no stores, just a stop sign. And it's a huge range, and of course, some of the places have never seen a human. Now, we decided to go up there and do a little old fire spotting tower, which, oddly enough, you and I were talking about. And in the middle of the night, because, of course, we're young and dumb and had all this bravery. Now, we made our way up, and it's about a 35-minute drive, and there was a rough hike to get to the top. Now, there was a serious uneasiness in the air that felt like a feeling before a storm. So, on our way up, we felt like we were being watched. Now, this place is known to have a devil worshiping going on. Seen plenty of evidence. Well, one of the guys up front did have a pistol with him. So we felt that we were safe up to this point. About halfway up, we spotted a small dog. No specific breed, just a kind of mutt. And he or she had a bandana around its neck, a red one. So we made our way up a little further, rolled our windows down, and could hear a very faint drumming. Almost like a heartbeat. A ba-bum, ba-bum. It was strange. Now, I've been up there over a dozen times, and I've never heard anything like it. I've seen plenty of carvings and other things, but never heard this before. So we got to the top, got out to walk the remaining couple hundred yards to the top. And, of course, we made it, uneventfully. But we did notice the drumming or whatever noise was much clearer there. So we smoked probably half a pack each up there over the course of an hour, hour and a half, and started to get kind of chilly, so we decided we'd head back down the way we came. Well, we got back to the car, and it was quiet. Really damn quiet. No noises, no nothing. Just silence. We started driving back down, and the drive down, you got to go real slow, or you'll run off the side of the mountain if you're going too quick. Now, the driver pointed off to the side, and we had saw what looked like torches or flashlights, and they were a good 500 yards or more into the brush. Now, I've been up and down this mountain many a time, and there's no road there. So we kept going, and we got about a quarter of the way down, and we saw that dog again, and it kept getting closer, and I swear on my life, my mother's life, and everything I hold dearly, this dog had the face of an old woman, and it got closer and closer and closer.
What?
And we all saw it. It just kept looking at us. This old lady's face was on this dog's body. Now, I can't describe it any other way.
A Jimmickin.
Mm-hmm. And I says, we got out of Dodge real quick, right?
Yeah.
So we started heading, or hearing rather, the drumming again. And that was it. We made it home, shook up like crazy. The mountain is home to things that we don't know about. And I've heard laughter that was mixed with a horse up there. I've heard a woman screaming and have even felt the ground shake from rumbling. It was insane. I don't go out there as often as I used to, but I've never went hunting there again.
Yeah, I don't blame him.
That was some RC. Thank you so much.
And that's cool because, I mean, I've only heard of the one or two stories of the Jimmickin,
mm-hmm.
where somebody was like at a Japanese wet market or
yes.
Chinese wet market. I don't remember where it was. I think it was China. And kind of like in the opening scene of the Gremlins where this old guy's got this Mogwai for sale, like at this little shop.
Selling a Jimmickin.
Somebody came across the Jimmickin, which is described as a dog with a human's face on it. I mean, it's a crazy cryptid. They were featured in one of the Freddy Krueger movies.
Yep.
Because Luke has actually two Jimmickin toys.
That's
that
right.
He got the Freddy Krueger.
I forgot about that. Yeah.
So, but I've never heard, other than that one story. about the person that this took place like in the early 20th century. Mm-hmm. Saw at that market. I've never heard of another person having a sighting.
But and what's funny is it's an old lady's face.
Man. Like a witch.
Yeah.
That's what I think of. Or the story.
The
your
Skinwalker.
Dad
yes.
Told us.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. So again, that's pretty doggone crazy. Right?
Yeah. Pardon
pretty,
the pun.
Pretty
yeah.
doggone crazy.
That's cool. Well, let's take a break. And when we get back from the break, what are we going to be talking about?
Time slips and crazy, creepy time slip related stories, like things that are out of place, yeah. whether future, present, past, things that are just out of place that people have experienced, just creepiness of time slips. Yeah, just everything about the time. Would you like to have one?
I would.
Future or past?
Past.
Yeah, word. All right, let's take a break and we'll get into the past. You're listening to Expanded Perspectives.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.
Life is a workout, and Smoothie King is here to help you power through. Whether you're grinding out bicep curls, or muscling the couch across the living room, crushing morning miles, or sprinting through back-to-back meetings, Smoothie King has fuel to help you maximize your workouts, own your recovery, and elevate your game. Give your body the energy, protein, and power it needs with a lineup of delicious smoothies made to help you conquer your goals. Only at Smoothie King.
And we're back with Expanded Perspectives.
Hey, y'all.
Hope everybody out there is doing good. I hope you like those news stories. Pretty creepy. Like Cam mentioned before the break, we're going to be talking about some time slips on this episode. It's a subject matter we haven't covered in quite a while. And what got this started is Manzanita Carpenter over at Inner Traditions Books shipped us out a new book last week that we got. It's called Time Shifts, Experiences of Slipping into the Past and Future by Von Brashler. And it got my interest going in time slips once again. Now, we're going to have to dive into this book. We might even have Von come on the show in the future and talk to us about this. But briefly thumbing through the book, he kind of gets into explaining what he thinks time slips could be. Like, there is a lot of controversy about it. People talk about it's just a delusion. People are hallucinating this. But maybe it's something else. Maybe it's proof of the multiverse, of a parallel dimension, somehow sliding through a tear in the fabric of time. Perhaps it's a past life remembrance. Perhaps it's, you know, whatever. The list goes on and on. But it got me thinking about interesting time slips. And I called Cam earlier this week, and I was like, hey, we should do an episode. Are you dying over there?
I'm dying.
About some time slips. So I went to dig
into. And of course I said yes.
Right?
Because I'm a junkie for it anyway.
Yeah, they're pretty cool. Some of them are mentions of people, like, seeing a town that used to be there or a town that. But it's not supposed to be there. Other times it's just missing time, but has nothing to do with the, like, alien abduction stories. There's no, like, I saw a bunch of bright lights. I saw oddly shaped orb in the distance. Next thing I know, it was 4 hours later and I felt like I was at the proctologist. You know,
it's that's not, right.
It's a completely different story. And that's what makes time slips kind of hard to categorize. And I think a lot of people probably have had some type of experience, but they don't know it's paranormal. They don't know who to report it to, and they just kind of forget about it.
Yeah.
I mean, we've mentioned it before. I've never had a time slip, but we were at my house as children.
Oh, yeah.
And we heard that bang, and like a toy, I don't remember what it was.
I think it was a Nerf football.
Something like that, that we had been missing, all of a sudden, like, fell off the entertainment center
den. Yeah, like we had talked about.
No one was in there.
Their entertainment center was on either side of a giant fireplace or a wood burning stove.
Mm-hmm.
So they were, what was the ceiling height? Like,
the ceilings in our den were like 15 feet.
Yeah. So, and the entertainment centers on both sides went all the way to the top, and there was just a gap big enough to put a speaker up there.
Uh-huh. Because there were speakers on both sides, and the rest were filled with books.
Yeah. And I remember we were like, there's no way one of us threw that football or whatever it was up there, and we didn't know it went up there. Like, nobody was in here playing with it. Like, it's one of those where you would have lost it outside.
Yeah, we had lost it, like, days prior.
Yeah.
And we couldn't find it. And then all of a sudden, the three of us, me, Cam, and my little brother, were, like, in the pool room shooting pool.
Yeah, yeah.
Or something like that,
yeah.
Just kind of hanging out. And we heard this sound, and we all turned, and we all saw it. Like, it, like, kind of just fell out of a hole.
Yeah, like it just dropped.
Space,
so we were like,
you know?
There's no way it rolled off of something.
Now, there might be a normal explanation, but I do remember it standing out as very odd.
Yeah.
Right?
100%.
So
this book spurred it on, spurred the idea.
Yeah.
Oh, and I got to checking. Folks, you can't order this book. You can get it on Amazon, too. You can get it from Inner Traditions, all that, but it's not available till April 6th.
Oh, okay. Well,
so
very soon.
That explains the sticker on the back, review copy, not for resale. So, look, we're reviewing it, folks. If you dig time slips, get on it.
Right. Let's get into some stories, not from the book, but these are from some of our listeners that have sent them in over the time. Check this one out, Cam. I think you're really going to like it. It says, hey, guys, my name is Cheryl, and I absolutely love the podcast.
Thanks, Cheryl.
I have a story I would like to share with the two of you. Now, years ago, I had a very strange experience where time seemed to stand still for me for about 1 hour. In 1997, I had repeatedly put off investigating a private elementary school for our son. It was May, and our firstborn was about to begin kindergarten that September. But my husband and I still hadn't decided on what school he would attend. Now, I had seen a brochure of an independent private school near my workplace by LAX, the airport. I'm assuming this is Los Angeles. However, I kept procrastinating, contacting the school for more information regarding their curriculum, administration, tuition, facilities, etc., and we were rather nervous parents at the time. Now, while placing the school inquiry low on my to-do list, I subsequently scheduled a visit that month to our local Social Security office to take place during one of my lunch breaks. I needed to register our toddler daughter in the Social Security system. I was careful to plan, manage, and monitor my trip to the Social Security office one afternoon because I only had a 1 hour lunch break. I knew from working at my office for 2 years that it typically took approximately 10 to 15 minutes to drive from my job to the area where the Social Security building was located. I estimated that I would only have about 30 minutes to complete paperwork, stand in line, pay, and receive a receipt for my daughter's card. That Thursday afternoon, upon arriving at the Social Security building, I kept looking at my watch nervously because I needed to make sure that I was back at work by 1 p.m. I felt like I was in the building forever. I had to stand in two lines after receiving a call number from the counter. Two or three men struck up a conversation with me. One, after them, joked about my calves and how toned they were. He said, hey, lady, lay off the Stairmaster a bit. The other one told me while the others cackled good-naturedly, and I smiled. I was there long enough to form a light camaraderie with some of the other patrons, as I typically do in the DMV line or at the doctor's office or the dental office, since I'm a friendly and outgoing person by nature. After I'd finished up all the processes, I walked quickly to my car, noticing that my watch now read 12:45 p.m. I distinctly recall my mind going into autopilot mode as I drove back to work. And then, boom, I returned to consciousness, it seemed like, to realize I was on Arbor Vitale Street, just a few feet away from Westchester Neighborhood School, which is actually the school I had been attending to research for our son. But I was like, how did I get here? I didn't drive to the school. I was driving back to work. But there I was in front of the school. Even though I was right in front of the school, there was no way I had time to stop and go inside to obtain the information I needed. But I still felt like I really wanted to. Because at this point, I only had about 5 minutes left before my lunch break was over. That's what I told myself. At that moment, again, instinctively, I glanced at my car's dashboard clock and silently freaked out because the clock showed it was only 12:30. And so did my wristwatch. I mouthed the words to myself, no way. Then quickly processed everything, and there was no rational explanation for it. I shouldn't have any time to investigate the school, but somehow I did. I was almost 30 minutes still. So, of course, the only logical thing to do at that point was to go with it. I turned my car into the school's parking lot, parked into the only available parking space, and allowed my legs to walk into the building. I hear myself ask the receptionist if they still had any openings for fall kindergarten. And actually, to my surprise, she smiled and said, yes, we do. And she handed me an application and asked me if I would like a tour, which I agreed to, knowing that I didn't have much time until I needed to get back to work. The whole time they were showing me the campus, I kept checking my watch to see how much time I still had. Every time I would look at the watch, the time would read 12:30. The kind little old lady showed me everything they had to offer. While she was giving me the tour, a bad feeling suddenly came over me. My wristwatch, I thought, must be broken, or perhaps the battery had just given out. I didn't know. Now I knew for sure I would be late for work after my extended lunch break. As I was taking and thinking this, the lady was giving me the tour. She decided to show me the lunchroom of the school, and that's when I noticed that there was a wall clock. To my amazement, the clock on the wall read 12:30. Just like that, the tour was over. I thanked the woman and left. Those actions combined surely took at least 20 minutes. Afterwards, I walked back into my car, got in, and drove back to work in time to enter my office at exactly 1 p.m. Everything else was simple after that. That was the school our son was supposed to go to, along with our daughter 2 years later. Some of our family's fondest memories are associated with that school, including lasting friends, both for our children and ourselves, and our children receiving a great education and incredible experiences which continue to benefit our family to this day. Ironically, I've never doubted that time slips like this could happen. I never tried to explain it. I just appreciate what happened. So is that crazy? She feels like somehow, like the universe wanted her kid to go to that school. This is a very prestigious school. It's hard for kids to get in. She was supposed to hurry up and go to the Social Security office to get something for her daughter. Only had in time just to do that. Somehow time was paused long enough for her to go to the school, which they had an opening for, fill out an application, take the tour, and make it back to work on time. She says it was like an hour. It was like somebody paused time for an hour for her to do all those tasks and then hit play again. And that was the school that her children eventually went to, and they had a fantastic time. So she doesn't know, is this a time slip? This is a loved one passed on that was somehow able to make a deal with God or manipulate time somehow that could intervene, or was it a guardian angel? But for whatever reason, she feels like something happened that allowed those events to happen for her children to go to that school. You've heard of the other stories where people are driving in their car, they're coming to a busy intersection, and something tells them, a voice in their head, something says, look out, or makes them hit the brakes.
Yeah, like
and
the
they
third
do.
Man effect.
Yeah, and then right after that, somebody runs a red light.
Mm-hmm.
If they hadn't had, what is that?
Machine elves.
Something is controlling the script, right?
Yeah. Dude, that's so crazy. I'm sitting here trying to think.
So this, again, is like what you're saying. Is this a time slip?
Yeah.
Or is it something else?
Well, I also wonder, how many times has this happened to people throughout the day that you don't even realize that, like, wait a minute, that took 5 minutes and 5 minutes hadn't gone by?
Well, I know for sure there's times where I get busy working. You're like, it's already 5 o'clock. I don't think that's a time slip,
yeah.
But I'm just saying.
But
if you were to go and you knew that you had a 1 hour lunch break and you knew that you had to go to the post office, you needed to go to the bank.
I needed to go to a school and take a tour.
I'm saying you did.
Yeah.
And you knew you only had an hour and then you went and did all this other stuff. You know that it took longer than an hour. And the fact that she kept looking at her watch and it was like stuck at 12:30, 15 minutes would go by. She'd look at her watch. It was still 12:30. She looked on the clock in the lunchroom, still says 12:30. It's like at 12:30, somebody paused time.
And I've heard of this more. I've heard of couples talking or of a time slip story kind of like that, where two couples were actually on a trip, and they said that when they got to where they were going, it's like their watch froze at 7:30 for the entire like evening. Like it's like everything just stopped when they got to this area.
Man, wouldn't that be cool if you could just do that at will?
But yeah, if you could do it at will, but like the whole idea, like you've seen Doctor Strange
when
he creates the time loop, like that would, to me, being stuck in a time loop would be awful if you were aware, like Groundhog Day, if you're the only one aware of it.
Yeah, yeah.
Dude, it's awful. It would be terrible. I got one I want to share with y'all that a listener named Paul sent to me that he said he'd found online somewhere, but I want you to listen to this because this is a crazy story. And he says, I'm trying to think, I guess its name is Sterling is where this came from that Paul sends in. It says, I was relocating across Texas and, as I normally do, was driving through the night to skip traffic and because it's more serene that way. I was driving straight through central Texas going northwest, so seeing the hill country change to desert in the full moon was super cool. Anyways, I was driving with my now ex-wife and we were running a little low on gas. So luckily, we were pulling into a tiny little no-name town, and we could see an old gas station come around the bend. Now, this was going down about 2 in the morning. Now, this little town only has one road, and this station was right at the edge of town at the end of it. And when I say old, I mean very old, like the type that you have no option for prepaying. You simply flip up the handle on the machine, and you hear the pump inside start struggling to get the gas from the reservoir. It had the old style tick readers also, not the electrical thing on it.
Right. Not digital.
Yeah. And this person says, I, being the young man, I had never seen this before. So I walked into the store to buy the gas before I pumped. The store only had one light in the far back that was on. And I almost thought it was closed since it was barely brighter inside than it was out in the moonlight. Now, upon entering, I saw that this place was deserted. No customers, no workers, nothing. However, there was an odd tune playing on someone's radio that I couldn't place. An old-sounding, upbeat piano piece was playing somewhere around the corner inside, and I heard shuffling once I walked closer to the source. This place made me feel scared. Not the, whoa, this is creepy, scared, but the, all the hairs are on end, something is seriously wrong here, but I can't figure it out type of scared. Now, as I turned the corner, I saw a young man standing next to a large radio and he was dancing. Now, his dancing, though, was extremely off-putting and seriously didn't match the tune at all.
All this fancy dancing.
That's right. Says through the, though the radio was cracking out of, you know, what sounded like ragtime music, this guy was running his hands up and down his body and pretty much feeling himself with his eyes closed in what looked like bliss.
You don't ever do that?
It sounds like this dude's rolling is what it sounds like.
You don't
like.
Ever do that?
Like you don't ever like take a lot of Molly and listen to a lot of music and just feel your body? Sounds like what he was doing. But he goes on to say that he was going far slower than the music and definitely wasn't on tempo. Man, I don't know why you messing up this dude vibing is what I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, I can't.
You never done that?
Do a soulful dance in a parking lot and feel himself?
At 2 in the morning in a gas station, obviously, that was closed in the middle of nowhere in Texas?
Yeah. Sounds totally normal.
Yeah, right? We've all done it. Says, for some reason, I couldn't speak. I couldn't even move. I was in a trance as every part of me screamed to turn and leave. Finally, I said, excuse me, I just need some gas. The guy kept dancing. I said it a little louder. And he finally slowed down a bit and opened his eyes and focused on me. But it was like he was looking at a finely cooked steak.
Uh-oh.
He was just looking almost through me. And he silently walked to the register and said, you got a pretty mouth.
Uh-oh.
No, I'm kidding. He didn't say that. I threw that in there, folks. I'm sorry.
Okay.
It says that he walked to the register and he didn't say anything.
This is about to get really scary.
Says he didn't say anything. I said, just $20 worth, please. He again didn't say anything. He just stood behind the ancient register. So I figured maybe he didn't speak the language or was embarrassed that I'd caught him dancing. So I laid the money on the counter. I went outside, hoping that he had, of course, turned the pump on, right?
Yeah.
So it says, I filled up. I told my wife about this weird-ass scene of what was going down in there. Turned the pump off to kill this horrible grinding noise from the interior pump. It says, fighting against gravity to even get the gas up. Now, the weird thing was, when we were pulling out, leaving, I looked back out of my window so I could see inside the building, and the guy was still standing there behind the counter. Now, this may sound fine and okay, but the really weird part was he was standing there and the money was still on the counter in front of him. Says it was like he was a robot who just turned off once I left. Now, this is where it gets super weird. Like, that's not super weird enough. This is super weird.
Yeah, this is a good story.
A couple of months later, I was driving back to San Antonio to visit family, and we figured we'd stop at that old gas station to see it in the daytime, since it had become somewhat of a running joke between us. We pulled into this tiny little town, and the thing was gone. The lot it sat on at the end of the road wasn't even there. It was just grass. No rubble, no pump, no lighting, nothing. It was like somebody picked it up and moved it. It looked like there had been nothing in this place for years. And I still get freaked out thinking about it.
Man.
How wild is that, huh?
Well, yeah. I mean, this is definitely a time slip story where people visit a hotel, a gas station, a house, whatever.
Yeah.
Village. And it's not there.
And that's back. Like, this isn't the first time we've heard this. This happens a lot. Like, there are, of course, and I know it's all subjective. What is a lot, right? And as far as time slip stories, the most common seem to be people stumbling into some place completely out of place. And it's always like they're on a trip. There's some place that they're not familiar with. And you hear these stories of time and time again where people go, we came back that way. Like, we may have stumbled into it going to our grandparents' house in a way that they had moved, or going to visit family, or going on vacation. But we made it a point to come back and visit to see that place again, like this person did. And it's not there.
I know. Man. Very cool. Check this one out. This comes from somebody named Chester. It says, when I was about 13, I spent my summer holiday, as usual, in the English countryside and used to cycle from the village where I was staying to the local town. Now, we usually did this journey by car, and I was amazed at how much more detail I noticed from a bicycle. Now, this particular day, I spotted a small village or hamlet in the trees to one side of the road, together with a small church or chapel. I thought this was quite wonderful. I never noticed this small group of dwellings before, and thought cycling through on my way back from town, just to have a shifty. I don't know what that means. Do you know? Must be an English expression.
I have no idea what that is.
As I cycled back later, the houses were still clearly visible through the trees, but due to the lateness of the day, I decided to push on home. A day or so later, I passed along the road with my mother in our car and tried to show her that the village that I had discovered, but there was no sign of it. I cycled back and looked again and again on several days, but to my confusion, could find no trace of either a village or any group of buildings or farms that I might have mistaken for a small village. Even a recent ordnance survey map didn't show any building or buildings that could explain what I had seen. In the end, I just assumed I'd been mistaken and had somehow misremembered what had happened. About 20 years later, I was in a local pub about 3 miles up the road from where this all happened. And I came across a Victorian ordnance survey map of the area, and was looking at it when I saw a ruined village and church marked where I had seen the houses about 20 years before. The site of the village was no longer shown on the more modern maps, but this older map showed quite clearly the site of a small village and of a church. Could this somehow explain what I saw? I wonder what would have happened if I actually visited the village instead of cycling past it and going home. I've made my answer anonymous, as everyone I've told this story to either laughs in my face or thought I was a liar or started trying to convince me that I should look with crystals or other high strangeness that could explain what had happened. But this actually happened, and I assure you it's very true. I really saw the village, and it really disappeared. And about 20 years later, I came across a map showing a village where I had seen this one. I honestly don't have an explanation. I just wish I had tried to cycle up to the houses to have a closer look. So just like you were talking about before, The guy is bebopping down the road on a bicycle, sees a cool looking village, sees a cool church, chapel. Man, like, man, I'm going to have to go there one day. I'm going to have to check it out. Comes back from town, drives by it, sees it again, and is like, man, it's getting kind of late.
Mm-hmm.
I'll just come back tomorrow. And then never sees it again. Till 20 years later, he's in a pub.
And finds a map.
Finds an old map showing where that village was. How do you explain that?
You don't. I mean, there's the only way you see. That's another thing. People, and I'm guilty of it. We're all guilty of it. We view time as a linear thing. We view time as something that's palpable, and it's not. It's just a mathematical way of measuring the movement of the earth, the sun, everything. That's all it is. It's not.
Yeah, I mean, like daylight savings time is a creation by us.
It's completely the only thing that is seasons. It's a seasonal change, but time is something we put upon this planet. We brought it's something that's our invention. So it's the way we view it. When in reality, it doesn't really work that way.
I think you're right.
Like there's really not time. It's just existence. Things happen as a cycle, but it's and so for stuff to be there and then not. I don't see how it couldn't be. Like, there's not memories. We talk about spirits connecting themselves to things. Well, why couldn't there be the energy of a town connecting itself to something? Most of the stars that we view at night have been dead a billion years.
That's correct. Like, and there could be new ones that we haven't seen yet.
And that we will never see until we'll be dead and gone before the light reaches us. So I mean, if you view it that way, as things could come and still the star is dead, the point I'm making, and its energy, its light is still there.
Still traveling, right.
It could be the same way here on this plane. We just don't have either the intelligence or the ability to measure and figure these things out yet.
Man, I mean, according to scientists, theoretically, there's an infinite number of you.
Yes.
In multiple different worlds.
If people are lucky, there's an infinite number of me.
And an infinite number of everybody. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And every place and every time, I think that somehow, for whatever reason, the fabric of space and time, the veil becomes thinner and people can see back or see forward.
Yeah. Well, and we've had too many things happen. Like we've talked about. Here's a prime example. A person named Cisco, which I love that name, sent this in, says this. 10 years ago, my friend and I were bored one night. We were driving around. We were on a highway in New Jersey, about 30 minutes from our houses, and through the trees in the middle of nowhere, we see this beautifully, freshly paved cement pathway. And it's got lampposts every 100 feet just lighting up this beautiful pathway. It was like it was beckoning to us. And so we found the nearest exit. Now we drove around for a while through the darkness until this road came to a dead end and that path began. So we got out and we started walking on this path through the trees and this beautiful wide open field. And it eventually ends at a little small town after a couple of miles. So at this point, it's like 2 a.m. and a small town like this, nothing should be open except for this one pizzeria, which is very odd, but hell, we go on in. Now it's empty except for an older gentleman behind the counter. We order and we start eating. And then another older customer walks in. Now the gentleman behind the counter and this customer do a double take at each other and then smile. Both of them run around the counter and embrace. Mario! Stefano! What has it been, 40 years? And they talk the whole time about their childhood and growing up back in Italy. We think, what are the chances that we would be here at this moment? Seeing friends reunited after 40 years, it's just plain odd. Well, my friend and I finished up eating, and then we head back down the brightly lit path all the way back to the car and finally call it a night or morning. And ever since that night, my friend and I have tried to find that brightly lit path, but to no avail. We've not seen it since, from the highway or driving down that road. And in that small town, the pizzeria is there. But it closes at 10 p.m. So there's no explanation why it would be open at 2 a.m. Just plain odd. And something that we never could explain was experiencing an unlikely moment to watch friends be reunited after 40 years. There's no explanation for that. I'm curious now about that story. Did they go into the pizzeria after they had this encounter, after they had this experience, when they finally went back to see if that old fellow worked there. Or did that path and that pizzeria, was it really not in the town? Was it in one of the alternate dimension towns? Like, what did we talk about? There was the old television show Fringe.
Yeah.
Where you could slip over. That. And it's one of those things. I'm like, maybe it's there, but that town is in another dimension. That's why that path is there. That path isn't in our world. It's in the upside down or whatever, you know, it's in another area. And that's what it feels like. These time slips feel like maybe they're not time slips. It is. You're stepping into alternate dimensions.
And how many times have people accidentally step into an altered dimension and not notice it?
Yes.
Like, they just drove past that street, but more than that person saw it. They just didn't go down.
That's true. Oh, we're being paged.
Yeah, sorry.
Kyle's got this fancy new iWatch or whatever it is it's called. I feel really left out, man. I'm going to have to get me a fancy watch. My family's got them. Not me. I got a Fitbit watch on. It don't do nothing cool, but tell me I'm fat and how far I can't run.
It probably wouldn't work on you. You have that street light interference syndrome.
That's right.
Messes with wristwatches.
That's right. Yeah.
I got another one here. Check this out. This comes from Daniel. He wrote in and talks about how he likes our podcast and stuff like that. He says, when I was a young boy at a Navajo trading post in New Mexico, my father traded with the Native Americans, and I was only a few years old, and I was told to wait by the truck in the parking lot. I still have no clue how it happened, but I was walking in the dirt parking lot, and it was as if I walked through an invisible door and found myself in a place that wasn't normal. The sky was all red, the dirt was black, and there was no sound at all. Somehow, an elder Navajo man saw me walk into this time slip or this dimension and was able to yell to me to stop moving. He said, "Can you see your footprints?" And I replied to the old man, "Yes." He then instructed me to walk backwards in my previous footsteps, and I followed his direction with my heart pounding in my ears. And before I knew it, I was back in the parking lot at the trading post. I've never forgotten the fear on the old man's face when I returned, and he came up and hugged me and said, "Son, I thought I had lost you." He then instructed me not to tell anyone what happened and gave me a necklace to wear to protect me. This happened back in 1980, and I probably wouldn't believe it if it didn't happen to me, but I swear it did. So this old Navajo man saw the boy walk into the alternate dimension and was like, "Can you see your footprints? Just walk back in the same footprints," like walking backwards in
snow.
Dude,
I got chill bumps because that means that he's aware of all that goes on. Because how would you tell somebody that? If you saw him walking out, you're telling me that if you had not known anything about it and you just looked up and you saw some kid walk into that portal, you wouldn't be like, "Hey, son, all you got to do is backtrack." You'd be like, "What in the hell am I witnessing?"
They were in the spirit world.
That's true.
Remember? Young guns?
Dude, that is a... Maybe he was a shaman.
Perhaps. He doesn't get into it. The guy, that when he was a boy, doesn't know.
Yeah. Maybe that old fellow was a shaman.
The description, how the sky was all red, like you're on Mars.
Yeah.
The sand was black, not like it was here. It's like the upside down. Like, literally, everything looked the same, but it's like you put a filter on it.
Well, you got to also think, what if that's where some of the missing planes and some of the missing ships and some of the missing people and missing car, they end up in those time slips and they never get out?
Yeah.
What if they're doing fine in an alternate dimension?
Yeah, right.
Right. Like, what if that's it? And you also have to think about, what if we get them? What if we get those people? But all these stories are so much that there is an active government cover up worldwide to not let people know about. There's certain spots on this planet people could go missing. And maybe it's just like, what were we, the man in the high castle.
Right.
Right? Something like that. Before we
the
get
Bermuda
out of
Bermuda Triangle is one of those places. The Bridgewater Triangle.
Yep.
I mean, there
Borrego.
There are places. Yep.
There could be. I want to give you one more.
Sure.
All right. This is the one more here. It says, driving in rural areas in New England near the borders of Vermont and Mass. So I'm not sure which one I was in, but it was late. All right. Very late. Says it was actually early, is what it is. So late it was early. And there was fog, very dense fog, like Silent Hill levels of fog. and like an idiot who dies in the opening scene of a horror movie, I'm driving on the back roads. Says first, my headlight just up and goes out. And because the fog is so heavy, I can't use the high beams. I can't see a thing. So I'm in the middle of nowhere where I haven't seen a house or a town in a long time. And the car starts making noise. Then the check engine light comes on. So I pull over. Nothing much around but fields and fog and dark. It's creepy as hell. So I pop the hood and take a look at the engine. And look, I can fix electronics, but I can't fix an engine. So all I can do is I try to tighten up everything that I know might cause this and try again, but the car will not start. So here I am in the dark in the middle of nowhere on the side of the road. And because of the natural rules of how things work, well, my cell phone also has no service. It's like one big cliche. But now I'm not stupid enough to go wandering around the roads right now. So I get back in the car, adjust the seat, get comfortable, kick back, and say, you know what? I'm just going to sleep till the sun comes up. And that's exactly what I did. I wake up, the sun's coming up. It's beautiful. The fog's burning away. And I'm in the middle of Main Street in a tiny town, parked in front of what looks like the Bates Motel House. There are houses everywhere. It was the creepiest feeling because I was sure that I was off in the woods. There's not a light on in any house all night. Not one. Nobody left one on. There was a service station 50 yards up the road, and I walked up to it, talked to the guy who looked perfectly normal, and he walked over to take a look at the car, and he asked me to try to start it. It busted right off. The damn thing turned over right away, and both headlights worked flawlessly. So I got in and left. Now, I never got the name of this little village, and I couldn't find it anywhere on a map, but this has always stuck with me. I always felt like this was in a big setup, kind of like for a horror movie, but it just didn't really pan out that way.
Man.
So how would you drive into town? What town has no lights, right? There's not one on the house. There's not one on in the filling station. There's not one on. How did I sound saying filling station? The gas Very. Station, right? There's not one on anywhere. And this person, he or she, they are in the middle of town, parked in front of my house. There's houses. Businesses. It makes me think back to the time slip where you and I had talked about before, where the married couples in France.
Yeah.
And they go to the hotel and it is not what they check in. It's dusty. It's dingy. There's a little old gal working there. Like she's like 14 and she's like a little chambermaid and they finally just leave and go sleep in the car. Like we're going to find a hotel that's way nicer.
Right.
And they wake up and they're in the middle of a bustling town with lights and a parked by a city park or something, you know, nothing like the coast. Maybe I think they're looking at like there's nothing was there. Not 5 hours before that. They are literally in a little dirty town. That's what this feels like, is they are in the middle of nothing. So it makes you wonder when you're driving in the upside down, were you in the forest? Did you get off on one of those roads? And because you stopped, that overlay moved away from you, kind of like a shadow moves, and it moved off and put you back there.
Yeah. You remember the time slip where like the three boys are walking and they're looking like in a butcher shop?
Yes.
And it's
I forgot about
stuff
that.
Stuff like that. Yeah. It happened somewhere in the United Kingdom. But I don't know. I like those stories. So there are stories where people are actually walking in a town. Mm-hmm. They're actually having an experience. Some people are like the guy that was bicycling and just saw the village, wants to know what would happen if he went into the town.
Yeah, yeah.
There's the one famous story where the guy was like in a clothing shop in Liverpool, I think. And it was like everything was all the clothes were all old. It was like looked like yep. It was from the 60s. Walks outside to meet his wife because she went to a different store and turns around. And that store is like completely different. Now it's like a Target or something.
Yeah.
He had somehow walked into a 1960s.
Well, and there's even one to where a man was with his wife and she went into a store. And he finally went in there with her, but he was like doing something else. And what it was is he went back in time and walks into the store looking for his wife and finds another woman dressed kind of like he is. And she's kind of mystified and they walk back outside and turn around. And then there's the bookstore they were just looking for. Like there's so many where they're just little small windows like that.
I love the stories of time slips.
Yes.
But that's about all the time we have for this segment. Let's take a break. You're listening to Expanded Perspectives.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.
This podcast is sponsored by IQBar. Your favorite clean, functional, delicious nutrition brand is raising the bar with a little help from Thomas Keller, Michelin star chef of the French Laundry. IQBar and Thomas Keller have teamed up to create a salted caramel chip protein bar and yuzu mango hydration mix. With toasted macadamia nuts, rich caramel flavor, and brain-boosting nutrients, this bar is like having a Michelin star meal in your pocket. Pair it with the taste bud tingling Yuzu Mango IQ Mix Hydration Mix, packed with magnesium and adaptogens to improve clarity and mood. With Keller's culinary excellence and IQ Bar's commitment to great taste and clean ingredients, this limited edition collaboration is simply mwah. And the best part is that 10% of sales go directly to Chef Keller's nonprofit, Mentor, that supports aspiring young chefs. Great taste, great nutrition. Great mission. Go to IQBar.com today and enter promo code KELLER20 to get 20% off all IQ Bar products plus free shipping. That's IQBAR.com, promo code KELLER20.
And we're back with Expanded Perspectives. Hope you like those time slip stories. I know I do.
Time keeps on slipping, slipping, slipping.
We've talked about it over the years. And we get emails constantly where people want us to do more. And sadly, there's just not a lot of time slip stories that you see or hear about. I mean, if you go online, you'll find some, but it's mostly the same 10 stories.
It's getting to be more, too, though.
Over and over.
I think it's because people are accepting. They also may be paying more attention.
I think it happens to a lot of people. They don't realize it happened.
Yeah.
Like they're just,
yeah.
How many times are you moving around throughout your day? Are you really paying that close of attention?
I don't pay that close of attention to pretty much anything at any time.
It's kind of scary, right?
Yeah, it really is.
You can be like driving for a while and just kind of like tune out.
Yeah.
And realize that you probably drove 20 miles and wasn't really paying attention.
Well, think about the trips that that you and I've been on where you drive through the night to go, say, snow skiing, right? Mm-hmm. Think of the places you could stop up in those little mountain towns that may not truly exist. Like you may have experienced it and not even realized you've experienced anything like that.
That's a good point, man.
It's I love them. Of course, I say that. We say that about everything. Every time we do it, you know, we love it. We do.
We do.
But the time slip stories, there's something about it is fascinating. I don't know if it's like a romantic idea or.
Probably.
What is it 1962? Isn't that the Stephen King book?
No, because it was about the JFK assassination, so it would be 63, right?
Was it 63 that they wrote it? Man, I can't remember what
63.
Either way, that is a really cool story. Yeah. I've not watched the show.
I have, but it's been a while.
Yeah, I need to watch the show. And James Franco's in it, I believe,
yes,
isn't he?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
But that whole idea of time slips and time portals and all that, that's what that's all based on. And it is where you got to pay the man. Like in the whole story, like you can cross through, but you got to like give him a coin. It's like a homeless guy or something. It's watching the portal. Like that kind of stuff's cool. So the idea of that being a thing where you interact with someone in the past is a heck of an idea.
Well, and with now we're talking about time slips and portals and being able to go from alternate universes back and forth. Maybe that's where some of the cryptid sightings come from.
Could be.
Maybe that's why Bigfoot can never be found.
True, true.
Maybe the Dwendy or Fey Folk or whatever. All of it's the same phenomenon. We're maybe just that's not aware.
Maybe that's why the aliens are here. This is one of the only places that it happens. Yep. So they are coming here. So they're trying to find ways to travel. Maybe it happens more often in the ocean. Hence the reason that we see a lot of the alien activity in the ocean.
Yeah, I mean, speculation can go on and on,
exactly.
And on forever. But very cool. If you have any time slip stories of your own and you'd like to share them with me and Cam, please email the show, expandedperspectives@yahoo.com. If you feel more comfortable telling the story, you can call our hotline, 888-393-BRUD. That's 888-393-2783. Also, you can follow the show on YouTube because we have content over there that you can't find anywhere else.
Yes.
Like Cameron's Cryptid Classroom.
Yep.
With Cameron and Luke.
Yep. Lil Fizzy.
And then I'm going to be relaunching Unusual Encounters.
Yeah, that's coming out quick. We're going to start dropping those as well as the show. So for those here on YouTube right now watching it, you're seeing us with our intros and outros. You're seeing all of this stuff. For those listening, there's going to be a few more things that you're only going to be able to find over there.
That's
and then
right.
If you like more podcasts, we have the Elite Show. So you could sign up for the Elite Show. And there's, I'm going to speculate that if we get everything together, we may end up start dropping videos, maybe even possibly like for Elite Show videos, to where there's videos of us doing other things. And of course, we got field work with the weather getting better. So we got a lot more stuff coming out.
Yeah, I think 2021 is going to be a completely new year with new things for the show.
Yeah, yeah, we'll find out.
We've tried before.
That's right. There's not saying it'll be good.
No, I mean, not
we don't know,
that.
But
no.
We're going to try.
You got to try. If you don't try, you don't ever know.
That's right.
All right, everybody. I hope you have a good week out there. Stay safe. That's it. I'm Kyle. He's Cam.
Peace, y'all.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org.
This podcast is sponsored by IQBar. Your favorite clean, functional, delicious nutrition brand is raising the bar with a little help from Thomas Keller, Michelin star chef of the French Laundry. IQBar and Thomas Keller have teamed up to create a salted caramel chip protein bar and yuzu mango hydration mix. With toasted macadamia nuts, rich caramel flavor, and brain-boosting nutrients, this bar is like having a Michelin star meal in your pocket. Pair it with the taste bud tingling yuzu mango IQ Mix hydration mix, packed with magnesium and adaptogens to improve clarity and mood. With Keller's culinary excellence and IQ Bar's commitment to great taste and clean ingredients, this limited edition collaboration is simply mwah. And the best part is that 10% of sales go directly to Chef Keller's nonprofit, Mentor, that supports aspiring young chefs. Great taste, great nutrition, great mission. Go to IQBar.com today and enter promo code KELLER20 to get 20% off all IQ Bar products plus free shipping. That's IQBAR.com, promo code KELLER20.